Some of George's bakers and chefs are dreaming big right now.
Are you looking for delectably sweet medicinal relief? Premium ingredients such as Heath toffee, Oreo cookie crumbs, and Rice Krispies cereal.
In a few states, you can add something extra to your recipes other than Oreo cookie crumbs. It is legal in some states to make and sell edibles laced with marijuana. Not in Georgia. Again, recreational marijuana is illegal in Georgia. But that is not stopping some culinary artists from working with it as an ingredient in the kitchen. Freelance journalist Bobbin Wages recently looked at Atlanta's underground edible scene for a story in Creative Loafing, and she joins me in our studio. Hi there.
Good morning.
And we're also joined by a chef who regularly makes and sells meals and pastries that contain marijuana and wishes to remain anonymous because of legal concerns. So we will call her Jean. Good to meet you.
Hi.
First of all, Bobbin, how did you even hear about this? How underground is the underground scene?
Well, I heard about this in the first place because of my editor at Creative Loafing, who wanted me to take a deep dive into the edibles market here. And if you're looking for an edible supplier, it's really not that difficult to find one if you go on Instagram by using hashtags like EatYourGreen or 420ATL. They're pretty easy to find. Or just going on Instagram, finding your stoner friends, and looking at the list of people they follow for weed chefs.
But we're talking to a lot of people who probably don't have stoner friends, I imagine. And I wonder, to what extent is the underground scene just an Atlanta phenomenon? Did you find anybody outside Metro Atlanta that's also cooking with this as an ingredient, or was this an Atlanta thing?
Well, I specifically focused on the Atlanta market since Creative Loafing is an alt-weekly focused in this area, but I know that in regulated markets such as Colorado, the edibles market is thriving.
So, Jean, first I have a whole bunch of questions for both of you about how you cook with marijuana, period, as an herb, and whether it behaves differently than, say, oregano. But let's deal with the risk first, because as I mentioned, this is an illegal substance in Georgia. Why take the risk? What's the payoff?
I think that marijuana is very beneficial to the human soul and to the health of everyone. And I would rather promote that than drinking or any other hardcore drugs, just because I think it's safer and it's more beneficial.
Then how, why not move to Colorado, where you don't have to take a risk?
It's too cold. I went there.
Fair enough.
I went there in April for 420, and it blizzard while I was there for 2 days, and I hated it, and I couldn't. I was thinking about moving there for obvious reasons for my career, and I convinced myself it's too cold, can't do it. I'm a summer baby.
What kind of training, and this is for both of you, what kind of training does it take, and experimentation, that's probably an odd word to use, to figure out how to use marijuana as an ingredient, and how differently does it behave than another herb?
Well, you have to know potency. That's a big deal. And when you don't necessarily just use it as a garnish or as an herb, like a parsley or thyme, you use it, you cook it with an oil or a fat. That's how you get your most absorbency. So when you cook it down with one of these things, it changes. It doesn't necessarily change the composition of the oil, but it changes the flavor. And it's more of a subtle taste, and it just adds a little extra to whatever you're cooking. It doesn't necessarily take over.
Bobbin, why is the so-called underground scene of edibles not so far underground? Why are people relatively open about making and selling these foods?
Well, I think that society's stance on marijuana has become a lot less taboo in general. So as legislation decriminalizes or fully legalizes marijuana use at a recreational and medicinal level across the nation, I think more people are open to it, and people are on the forefront of creating edibles. So when it does eventually become legalized here, people will look to her business first.
Is that part of the plan, to be out ahead of the curve?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that both Jean and the other constituent who I interviewed, Baked Good ATL, are already seen as top edible chefs in the city. And so once this is legalized, I think that their customer base can only expand from there.
And again, I want to emphasize recreational marijuana, not legal here in Georgia. But Jean, are you counting on a change happening within the next few years?
Yes. Based on the presidency, maybe sooner than later. But it's growing in
the
South.
What does that mean? Do you mean assuming that Hillary Clinton, you're assuming that Hillary Clinton will win the election?
If she wins, that is a possibility that she's considering making it legal. But if Trump becomes president, then I might have to consider a different career.
Or move to Colorado. Or Colorado,
yes. Well, if he becomes president, he's trying to reverse certain legislation anyway. So it may be not even the case nationwide.
So what kind of pressure do you feel? Because you make a number of different things that include marijuana as a flavor, right?
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of meals and baked goods and things. What kind of pressure is it even in the back of your mind that at some point you could get arrested?
Oh, I think about it almost every day. I thought about it on the way here. Just because I cannot prevent it. It's very hard to avoid it just because I am doing something that's extremely illegal. But in my opinion, I think it's worth the risk just because I am getting a leg up on my competition, and it's something that needs to be here in Georgia, and we don't have it.
So, Bobbin, was this echoed, this idea of I live with the fear of arrest every single day, but it's worth it? How much was that echoed in the other interview you did?
Both fear for their safety every day. And so as part of that, there's an extreme vetting process that customers have to go through before they can even get access to these chef's goods. So
an extreme vetting process. Jean, what does that mean?
Basically, we do social media background checks. It's the easiest way we can do it, but and even that
you're trying to figure out if a person is a real person.
Yes, or an underground cop, which is kind of hard to do because some cops, because they do have fake profiles on Instagram, and there are quite a few, but it's hard to tell who's real and who's not. So if you have other social media platforms to go along with this person, then you're able to make sure that they're real. And also, you can tell a lot about a person based on their Instagram. It's a lot about their personality, what they like to do, what their interests are. And I tend to sell to more artists than people who work
in corporate. So people who would have an Instagram account.
Yes.
Yeah. If they don't have an Instagram account, they're out of luck.
Yeah. That's the only way you can access me.
Bobbin, for people for whom this is a completely foreign culture, what are the chances? I mean, what happens should recreational marijuana not become legal in Georgia for years and years and years? What happens to this underground edibles culture?
I think that it continues to persist in the shadows. But, you know, legalization already is making strides in this state, at least for medicinal marijuana. Recently, Haley's HOPE Act was passed, which allows qualified patients with certain conditions to possess up to a certain amount of medicinal marijuana oil.
Oil, yeah.
So just based on
that. But you can't grow it here.
That is true.
Yeah. And the Haley's Act is quite limited. So let me put the same question to you, Jean. What happens should recreational marijuana remain illegal here in Georgia for the foreseeable future?
I'm going to have to change states. Just because I can stay underground, but as a chef, I am trying to grow a business into a restaurant, hopefully, in the future. And if it continues to remain illegal, then I won't be able to grow. And I won't be able to open that restaurant because of health code violations and everything. Like, I won't be able to pursue my dream, so I'd have to go elsewhere.
And your dream is caught up in this. But you studied as a culinary artist, did you not?
Yes.
So what's your cooking strategy without marijuana in it? Is there one?
I currently work as a personal chef in Atlanta, and I have many clients. And this is not this
Part
has nothing.
It.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with marijuana. It's for families, and come to their home, and I prepare meals, and that's always my fallback. So I, if this doesn't work out, I can always do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bobbin, would you say this is a large culture? I mean, percentage-wise, is this a pretty big culture? Is this pretty niche?
I think it's larger than a lot of people realize, because since marijuana is still illegal in Georgia, people are very discreet about their usage. But just based on people who have approached me after writing this piece, and people who I wouldn't have expected to be interested in someone like Jean's products, I think that that shows that there are more users out there than we realize.
That is freelance journalist Bobbin Wages. Her piece appeared in Creative Loafing, and we have the Atlanta chef who makes dishes with marijuana and is known for our purposes as Jean. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Just a reminder, marijuana, recreational marijuana, still illegal in Georgia.